I'd like to talk about the spiritual gifts on some of these Sunday nights ahead of us because of a large Chi Alpha gathering in town, National Chi Alpha gathering that I need to be at next Sunday night. I won't be able to be with you next Sunday night. And then Father's Day, we don't usually have a Sunday night service, but I will pick this up in later June and into July. I am actually in town quite a few weekends next month and a half. And so we'll be picking this up. But I wanted, as we talk about, we have our Holy Spirit month at Central this month, I want to talk to you some about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just encourage you to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we'll just get going tonight on some introductory things. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, where the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are mentioned. And we'll start with the preamble in verse 4 to that. Now, we all know that God gives the Spirit to us so that the Spirit of God can flow through us. And part of the way the structure of God's Spirit flowing through us to touch other people is through gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural enablements of the Holy Spirit that cause situations in people's lives around us to be different. Because God just doesn't give His Spirit to us, but He pours His Spirit through us. And I don't know if the nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are comprehensive. I don't know if Paul meant to cover every possible gift there could be, but it's an amazing representative list of the ways in which God's Spirit flows through us. Now here's how he preambles it in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so it's the same presence of God. It's the same power of the Holy Spirit. Although there will be different expressions of those gifts, different kinds of gifts given to us. If you could just go down to verse 11 after the nine gifts are mentioned. He said, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. And so there's something very sovereign about this. The Holy Spirit, same Spirit. He lands on this twice, the same Spirit, but different gifts to different one of us as he wills. So you don't need to feel spiritually inferior to somebody else if your spiritual gifts are not the same kind of. God doesn't use you quite the same way he uses somebody else. That's the Holy Spirit's problem, not yours, as long as you're staying open to God, as long as you're keeping your life hungry for the Lord and your life pure, and you're open, an open vessel. The Spirit of God, by his own determining, gives certain gifts to each one. So back to verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. In other words, the gifts are meant to serve. In many ways, the gifts of the Spirit are not gifts to us, but they're gifts to the people around us as God's Spirit expresses himself through us. These are the giftings, these are the enablements of the Holy Spirit that become gifts to the people touched because they are related to service. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. If you don't want God to use you in his service, if you just want to plain be blessed and whatever and all that, then the gifts of the Spirit probably won't be in operation in your life. There needs to be a hunger for God and a hunger for God to use you because of his love for the people around you. And that's what we get to in the next verse, the love of God the Father. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And so the gifts of the Spirit are God working through us so that people he desperately loves can encounter his power and his presence. You've heard me say several times over the last few months that I've been with you that there are people in your life this week that desperately need an encounter with a Spirit-filled believer. And that's because God's working through you in service, packaged in the form of enablements of the Spirit to touch people's lives. There's people in your life, probably this week, that desperately will need an encounter with a Spirit-filled believer because they need an encounter with the work of God through you to them. And you'll notice that probably, can't press this too far, but probably all three members of the Godhead are mentioned in these three verses. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, in the sense of the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God, God the Father, works in all of them, in all men. In other words, the totality of the Godhead is invested in ministering to people through you. The totality of the Godhead. He loves people that much that he has invested the totality of who he is, Father, Son, and Spirit, in you for the sake of touching people around you. And then he gets to the gifts, verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. That's number one. To another, the message of knowledge. That's the second gift he mentions, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. That's the third gift, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings, by the one Spirit. That's what, the fourth? To another, miraculous powers, 5. To another, prophecy, 6. To another, distinguishing between spirits, 7. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, 8. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts. Now, Paul probably wasn't intending this, but the engineer in me has to find symmetry and pattern. Sorry about that. And I do find that, of course, 9 divided by 3 is what? 3. There are 3 sets of 3 gifts that fall in 3 different categories. First of all, there are what I call the perception gifts, the perception gifts. And they're the ones we'll talk about briefly tonight. And the perception gifts or the perceiving gifts are wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are enablements to perceive things. And then there are what I call the power gifts. Of course, they all have to start with P, right? That's the engineer and the preacher. Perceiving gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. Power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. And then proclamation gifts, okay? Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, all right? So there are perceiving gifts, there are power gifts, and there are proclamation gifts because there are people in our lives that need to know the mind of God for them, that need to know the tangible reality of his power that can touch and change things in their lives. And there are people who need to hear the word of the Lord with clarity in their lives. And so he gives us perceiving gifts, power gifts, and proclamation gifts. There they are. So I'm going to take each one of those trios one at a time in the next few Sunday nights. But let's start, first of all, with the perception gifts. And we'll just start with these first 3 tonight. The gifts of the word of wisdom. Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge, and then go down in the middle of verse 10, and to another distinguishing between spirits or discerning of spirits. These perception gifts. Let's say just a couple of things about each one of them. Number 1, wisdom. Have you ever had somebody just say exactly what you needed to hear at the right moment? You know what? I think that's the gift of wisdom. Have you ever had somebody to say to you, even though you did not recall the conversation, when we talked 8 years ago, I was going through this, and you said something to me after church, and God just, you, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And you don't even remember the conversation. I love that. God can work through us by accident or on purpose, as far as we're concerned. We may not even realize it, but I love the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is just, sometimes I don't know what to say, but God's Spirit just impresses a thought on you. Or sometimes you just say what's obvious. I think it's important. I think the word of wisdom is a wonderful thing because it keeps us from preaching at people, or it keeps us from saying, sometimes when people are really going through hard times and we just do say trite things like, well, I know how you feel, or, you know, that's usually not helpful to people, or buck it up, you know, God's refining you. I mean, there may be a place to say that, but usually people need a word, especially when they're going through really difficult times, a little differently placed than, well, I know how you feel. They need something of wisdom from the heart of God. And God can give, not every conversation, But this is an amazing will. You don't need to feel spooky. You don't need to feel chills up your backbone. You just, you know, sometimes God can give you something in the moment. And I've had times where God's given me something in the moment and I've walked away and I didn't even know. You know, and I just said what seemed right in that moment, and I walk and I'm kicking myself. I go, that was stupid to say. I mean, why didn't I say something better to them? You know, and the enemy comes and condemns you, and then 3 months later, you find out that whatever that was you said was just exactly what they needed to hear. Yeah. You know, I just talked about the Corum grandsons. I mean, I love the stories of scientists who get on their knees and they believe great breakthroughs came because God just flat out showed them things. You know, when I was an engineering student, I used to take exams and I'd go, now, God, I know you know the answer to this question. You're just not telling me right now. You're just not telling me. But I had other times where I always tried to put ministry first. I love what Andrew shared. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. That verse got me through 9 years of university. It's keeping ministry as a priority. And sometimes I didn't have as much time to study as other people because of that. But I on the other hand, I couldn't answer every question on every exam. On the other hand, I saw God just supernatural. Sometimes he'd give me insight and wisdom. I go, where did that answer come from? I don't know. But I just know that he can give us wisdom. It said God gave Solomon breadth of wisdom, and he became a genius in both the arts and the sciences. I want to tell you, God can give you wisdom. I don't know what you're facing at work. I don't know what you're facing in your family. I don't know what conversations you're going to have this week, but God can give you wisdom. You know, and just stay open to him. Just relax and stay open to the Holy Spirit. And don't try to do anything impressive. Don't put the pressure on yourself. Just walk in the Spirit. Keep an ear to his voice. And who knows? Who knows the wisdom God could give you this? I mean, he wants to throw heaven behind you. You're his person. He gave his Spirit to you to flow through you and make a difference in our world and our relationships. And so I just want to exhort you tonight. Just stay open to the word of wisdom working through your life. And then he talks about the word of knowledge. And I know there's a lot of scholarly debate over what these means. I'm pretty simple about it. Knowledge is knowledge. I feel like sometimes God just shows us things we have no other way of knowing. And he does it to build faith in people's lives. He does it to give you a heads up. There are times where I've gone through hard seasons in my life, but honestly, I could tell you that many hard seasons were signaled by a moment where I was just walking down the street, and all of a sudden, I just had this impression that I was going to walk through something, and God was just preparing my heart. He would just show me something. I can't tell the future, but I would have no way of knowing except that. And especially when I just believe all of us, if we're Spirit-filled, we ought to pray for people whenever we can. You don't need to be a pastor to be a minister. You're a minister of the Holy Spirit because his power is in you. And you know, if you're around people, you have an opportunity to pray for them, pray for them. And I have learned that people's prayer requests are not their real needs. So you pray for people and you listen to the Holy Spirit. And there are times when God can show you what's really going on. You know, and you don't pray it condemningly, and you don't embarrass people in front of other people, and especially if it's something really sensitive and personal, you maybe only share that with them, but you just let God's Spirit lead you. I probably told this story when I used to be your pastor, but my most humorous experience with the word of knowledge was I was speaking at a conference when I was still a university campus pastor, and it was at a retreat. It was a single adult retreat and up in Canada. And we spent Saturday afternoon just praying for anybody. I took a ministry team from my church. And we just used to love to pray over people and just listen to the Holy Spirit. So this gal sits down in the chair and we all gathered around her. And she had some prayer requests. And I just knew that wasn't the real issue in my spirit. I didn't want to embarrass her. And I'm still learning this stuff, of course, too. I'm still learning all of this. But We were praying for her, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, if you just listen to me, I want to show you what her real need is. And I want you to pray that over her so that her faith will grow. And she will see that I really love her, that I have her number, that I know her. And so it was, remember those Rolodex, you know, those flip cards? You know, now we have phones, but those Rolodex, you know, cards. And it was like in my spirit. Sometimes I'll get a picture when I'm praying for people. And it was like I saw this this Rolodex start to rotate, and all these cards came up one by one with the word on it. You know, like depression and anxiety and fear and relationships, and I just knew none of them were right. And just, it was the funniest experience. They just came up, and then all of a sudden, sleeplessness. Boom, I knew that was it. So I wasn't overly confident. So I was praying. I started praying for her. And I said, and Lord, even in the night hours, if there are things just harassing her, in Jesus, and she just started, I could see visibly, she, you know, there is watching and praying. I kind of what was watching how she responded, and she just started shaking and crying, and I knew I was onto something here, so I was praying, and so we rebuked the enemy, whatever's keeping her up at night, you know, all this stuff, you know, and I was just kind of, because she was responding, I was figuring, man, maybe God was really showing me something here, so we really prayed that God would give his beloved sleep and all of this sort of thing. Turns out, for months, she was just getting partial night sleep. She was seriously sleep deprived. She was waking up at 2 a.m. just being harassed and couldn't sleep again. It was this huge, huge thing in her life. And God just set her free that afternoon. But the funny part of the story was she came to serve. That was Saturday afternoon. So it's a retreat. Last till Sunday noon. Saturday night, she comes to service. She's fine through the worship and all of that. As soon as I get up to preach, she falls asleep. I go, no, God, that's not fair at all. That's not even funny. They had to wake her up at the end of the service, take her to a bunk. She told me the next day, she said, I slept like a baby for the first time. Yeah, well, you slept through my sermon. My sermon put you to sleep. But the Lord knows everything about the people you're going to be with this week. He may create opportunities for you to pray with them, and he may give you a way to pray for them that he knows how to reveal to you. And this is part of gift of knowledge, a little broader than what I'm describing, but this is the very practical way in which I say, God, there's times I just need a heads up on some things that I have no other way of knowing. And would you do that? And then the discerning of spirits. You see Paul move in this gift. Of course, we see all these gifts in Scripture as well. But we see Paul moving in this gift in Ephesus, and it got him almost run out of town. But there was a slave girl following him around saying, you ought to listen to this guy because he's telling you the way to life. The problem is it was a demonic spirit just harassing him. And you know what? The words were true, it seemed. At least the little snippet that Luke gives us. But it aggravated Paul's spirit every time he heard it. And he knew that there was something not of the Spirit of God that was animating and energizing this young lady. And this is what the discerning of spirits is all about. God, give us that gift. Not all the hype you see out there is the Holy Spirit. And there are a lot of agendas that people have that aren't the Holy Spirit. And God, give us grace. May he spare us from the gift of suspicion. And if you're a naturally cynical person, God's got to refine this gift in you. But if you're a little bit more of a naturally trusting person, this would be a great gift to be open to in your life. Lord, just help me not to be overly naive about everything that's even done in your name, but help me to be discerning. Help me discerning what's happening in my family right now. It's just something medical, or is this something really spiritual? And often there, and sometimes problems in our lives are linked. At least the enemy tries to exploit them. But we fight principalities and powers. There are demonic powers out there. And the discerning of spirits is that radar that God gives. I look at it as a radar. God gives us a spiritual radar to help us recognize when his spirit is involved in something and when an other spirit is involved in something. And may God give you. And this, when we're hungry for God, when we're just waiting on God, when we're giving God time, I do believe, and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, I do believe that the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the constant refilling of the Holy Spirit just gives us ears to the Spirit. You know, in the voice of the Holy Spirit, I've made mistakes discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. But I want to tell you, don't ever, even if you've made mistakes, don't give up. I mean, we're all growing in this. But let's keep listening closer and closer to the Holy Spirit. And even though you know people who try to listen and then do things that are off the wall, I mean, don't let off the wall stuff hinder you from just continuing to listen, because his voice is real. And we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when we're full of his Spirit and when we're full of his word. And he wants us to walk in these kind of perceiving gifts, whereby especially we're listening to his voice. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment. All of these things are aspects of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know, I'm that kind of person, Pastor. Well, that's fine. You don't need to be impressive, you know? But listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit in you is amazing, and he's powerful, and he's real, and he wants to talk to us. He wants to tune us into things when we need to be, for the sake of the flowing of his Spirit into people's lives. Amen. 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 I'd like you to stand with me for a moment. And Lord, we just pray that you will touch our ears to hear in the spiritual realms, not to be spooky, not to be delusional, but Lord, when you're talking, make us more sensitive to your voice. We just pray that the gift of wisdom will flow through our lives as Spirit-baptized believers this week. We pray you'll give us conversations. Lord, maybe even without us realizing you're using us, you just speak the right word at the right moment to someone through us. The right way to encourage them. The right way to make them aware of your love for them. We pray, Lord, if there's things you want to show us that we'd have no other way of knowing, as we pray for people, as we try to make decisions in our lives, as we need to be maybe warned of things, I pray, Lord, that the word of knowledge will work in our lives by the Spirit of God. And I pray you'll make us discerning, Lord. Not cynical, not suspicious, but make us discerning. Especially in our day, Lord. Make us especially aware of the moving of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for how you moved among us today. And keep us, Lord, just attuned to your Spirit. Help us settle for nothing less than your presence. Help us to always be sensitive, always discerning of your presence when you're in a situation in a special way, wanting to do something. Help us to sense your leading in powerful ways, more than just our thinking, but your leading, Lord. Lord, just help us to be discerning in the name of the Lord. And may you come. May you fall upon us. May you grace us this week. May your Spirit work through us, Lord, for the sake of people you love. Keep giving us love for people. Keep giving us your heart for people so that your gifts can flow through us, we pray. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just sing together, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.